shit. I jerk my gaze up to his and give him a bright smile, noticing for the first time that he's panting, sheened in a light coating of sweat that makes his muscles gleam, and he's holding a rather large lizard thing in one hand. The thing drips blood onto the leaves from a cut in its belly, and I realize Cathar's splattered in blood as well. Did you kill it? I ask, feeling all breathless. That was a stupid question, wasn't it? Of course, it's dead. I'm all distracted, my cootie throbbing so hard it feels like the thing's going to tap dance its way out of my chest. He just gazes at me, heat in his eyes, and I can feel my skin prickling with awareness. I can't help but glance down, and... yep, he's hard. And bigger. And Jesus, I can't help but pay attention to that. There's no getting around the fact that he's enormous. Of course he is. The guy's twice the size of me, but did he have to be twice the size everywhere? I swallow hard, feeling flushed. Kiki squawks and taps his beak on Cathar's cheek. The spell is broken. Well, sort of. I squeeze my thighs tightly together and hug his basket to my chest, very aware that he's naked and I'm wearing what equates to a fern thong. Are you okay? When he just continues to stare at me, I grab a leaf from a nearby plant and then approach him, dabbing at the blood spattering his skin. Tell me this isn't your blood. Cathar glances down at his chest where my leaf is wiping at his skin. Oh, gosh. We're standing awfully close together. Any closer, and I'd be introducing his Mr. Happy to my belly. He realizes what I'm doing and says something, then gestures at the dead lizard in his hand. I assume it means all good, because he looks relaxed. He gestures that I should follow him, and I do, keeping a careful step or two behind him. It's getting harder and harder not to stare at his butt, especially now that it's naked and he seems to not care. Either that or maybe he wants me to admire it. Surely he knows it's some prime ass, though. Surely. Mine feels positively doughy in comparison. A horrible thought occurs to me. Next to him, I'm short, pasty, and distinctly unmuscular. I have only two arms. Does he think I'm unattractive? Gross? I shouldn't care, but the thought is a rather distressing one. I'm getting more and more accustomed to the thought of a permanent mate with every hour, but I'd like for him to be attracted to me because I'm me, and not just because his cootie demands it. He kneels down at the base of one of the large trees and drops his kill, then gestures, "Shkut." I peer over his shoulder and see what looks like a gigantic hollowed-out nest filled with broken bits of leaves and twigs. Large oblong eggs are clustered together, and I realize this must be where they get the eggs from. Oh, are we gathering these? I point at them. Eggs. Food? He takes one and offers it to me, gesturing that I should eat. Oh, no, not me. I put up a hand, shaking my head. There's something about sucking down a warm, raw egg that makes my stomach turn. I know it's a good source of food, but I also know I'm not quite that hungry just yet. He pushes it toward me, and I nudge it back toward him. That one's all you. He sits down and cracks the top of the egg, then throws his head back and sucks it down with big, hungry gulps. It takes him no time at all to finish it, and he closes his eyes, sighing heavily. Geez, he must have been starving. I pause, studying him. Every time I turn around, he's offering me food. But this is the first time I've seen him eat since I met him. I think back to the meal earlier today with the nuts. He refused the eggs, and when I offered one to his friend, I thought he seemed a little over-eager. And when I gave Cathar one of the nuts, he cracked it open for me and handed it back. Are they starving? Is that why he was so excited to get this kill? Are you hungry? I ask him, picking up another one of the eggs and offering it up to him. He studies it for a long moment and then shakes his head, taking the basket from my hands and filling it with eggs. I'm pretty sure I hear his stomach growl. I knew it. Son of a bitch is rationing. I poke his side. I heard that. Cathar gives me a sheepish look. He pauses and holds up an egg.
Zaren.
He touches the next one.
Zaren. Nacht.
Then the next.
Zaren. Nacht. Nacht.
Ah, he's saving these for the baby, I bet. Nacht is alien for tomorrow. He's definitely storing food because he worries there won't be enough. I put my hand on his wrist, and before he can place another egg into the basket, I steer it toward him. Cathar, I say gently. Not Zaren. Cathar, you're no good to anyone if you starve to death, and I can't have you dying on me. Not when we're supposed to be mated, remember? Now that I look at him, I see the signs of hunger. Did I think his muscles were extremely well-defined? It's because he's got no fat left for his body to use. I can see his ribs, and his belly is so flat that it makes me worry. I don't remember the other tribe starving. Ironic that we're surrounded by so much greenery, and yet there's not enough to eat. Seems like there's something wrong with that. Maybe the volcano or the earthquakes are scaring away all the game. I wonder how long it's been since the thing erupted. And how long it'll be before it blows again. I remember the wall of thick stream bubbling from one end of the island, and shudder. This place is warm, but it's kind of a death trap if you ask me, I tell him. He offers me the egg again. I shake my head, and when he insists on pressing it into my hand, I crack the top with my knuckle and then hold it back out to him. Cathar gives me an exasperated look, as if saying, "Look what you did." But he drains the contents and rubs his mouth with the back of one hand. He studies me for a long moment, and then pulls me close, burying his face against my neck. It's a hug. Kinda. It's sweet. It's also really, really making me aware that we're both pretty naked, and my woven bib of a top isn't doing much to hide the fact that my nipples are hard at that small touch. I look down and I see I'm not the only one affected. I hold out his loincloth. I think you forgot this. Cathar looks down at it, then throws back his head. And laughs.
10. Cathar. She's clever, Mylren. I teach her words as we bring our kill and the eggs back to camp. She remembers more of them than I thought, and this makes me proud. I want so badly to have a conversation with her, to find out more about her and her people, to learn what she likes. To hear more of her laughter, see her smiles. I want to know everything about her. We take our haul back to the camp, even though we haven't gone very far. The Svikit was a lucky find, and the nest luckier still. The meat will feed us well this night, and the eggs will ensure that Zaren will not starve. And my clever Loren realized I was not eating and insisted that I have a second egg. Even now I feel stronger after my meal, and it is no chore to dig a pit a short distance away from the tree and start a small fire. Only a small one, of course, and then I let it burn down until it is mere coals, and layer it with leaves. I skin and gut the carcass, cover it with more leaves, and then leave the pit to smoke for many hours. By the time it will be ready, the suns will be below the horizon, and the day over. Until then, there is more to do. So I take Loren back into the jungle with me. This time we go after our true goal, the thick, meaty ground nuts. It is easy to get sick of their taste during times of plenty, but lately they have been the only food that is easily findable. I show her what to look for, and we spend the afternoon gathering nuts and teaching her my words. Even though speaking to each other is proving to be a challenge, I enjoy her company, and I love nothing more than making her laugh with delight. We pause for a small meal of nuts and fresh water when we make it to the stream. I wash quickly, getting rid of dirt and blood off of my skin, and I notice that my mate tries to wash with her clothing on. She is strangely shy, my Loren. I do not understand it, but then again I do not understand many things about her. I enjoy the thought of learning all I can, though. Loren sits on the edge of the water and lies back on the bank, closing her eyes and sighing heavily. Tired? I ask, though I know she will not understand me. She opens her eyes and gives me a pensive smile.
Just thinking.
She studies the basket of nuts next to her and picks one up, holding it up for my gaze.
Loren,
she says after a moment, and then sets it down on the ground. She puts another one next to it.
Loren, Cathar,
she says, pointing at first the original nut and then the new one. She adds a third, smaller nut.
Zeren?
And another.
J...
She looks at me, waiting. Jashel, I tell her, pointing at the new nut. I see where she is going with this. It is a naming game of some kind. I add another nut and place it next to Jashel. Nedech. She nods, excitement in her eyes, and picks up another nut.
Marisol.
No, that is all of us, I say. Unless you want to count Fat One. I pat the night flyer, who has his claws dug into my shoulder. She shakes her head and holds the nut up again, going down the list of names and pointing at each one. Then she gestures at the one in her hand.
Marisol.
She takes it and puts it next to her nut.
Loren, Marisol.
She moves the Loren nut away and places a new one by it.
Loren, Cathar.
Then she gestures at the leftover nut.
Marisol?
There is a question in her voice. Realization dawns. I point at the leftover. Is this the human female that was with you? Her brow furrows and she studies me, trying to understand. Female, I point out, then gesture at my chest. Teets. Kit.
Yes,
she says excitedly in my tongue.
Cathar, yes.
She makes the same gestures with the nuts again. Loren with Marisol. Loren, then Cathar.
Marisol?
She asks again, tapping the leftover once more.
Marisol, no?
I see the worry on her face. Marisol, yes. She is alive. She went with Arjal.
Arjal.
I pick up another nut. Arjal. He is of the clan Tallhorn. I take the cluster of nuts that represent my tribe. This is clan Strongarm. I grab a few of the new nuts and place the one that represents Arjal with them. This is Tallhorn. Arjal. T'Chai. Mutach, Sibren, and your friend, Marisol. Her eyes get wide. She points at the cluster.
It's not a group people?
Tallhorn, I tell her again. Then I take another cluster and use them to represent Shadowed Cat, on the far end of the island. Orek, Ojek, Atam, Odran. That is all that is left of Shadowed Cat. Our people are no longer many. I think of the great gatherings when I was a kit, of dozens of people gathered to share food, to compete in games, and to visit family. I think of the proving games, when males would go out into the jungle to work together and bring down a Skyclaw with no weapons but their bare hands. I was in my own proving game when the Great Smoking Mountain died. All of us that are left were in the proving game. It was only the fact that we were on this side of the island that kept us alive. The rest of the land sank with the great smoking mountain, and took with it almost all of our people. My jaw clenches with the grief of that time. I study the nuts before us. So few, and there were once so many of us. Even now our hunting territory is but a tiny slice of what it used to be. I remember days of travel to reach the gathering grounds. Now I can cross all of the territory to Shadowed Cat's lands with a day of travel. It does not seem right. A sniffle catches my attention. I look up and see that my mate is weeping, swiping tears from her cheeks. "What is it?" I ask her, reaching out to caress her jaw. "Why do you cry?"
"Marisol,"
she says, lip trembling.
"Marisol isn't dead. She's alive."
She clasps my hand in hers and gives me a pleading look.
"Have to meet her."
"What is it you want, my mate?" I need to concentrate on her words, but she holds my hand dangerously close to her swollen teats, and it distracts me. She repeats herself, and when I shake my head again, she looks down at the nuts and then taps a finger on hers.
"Lauren."
She picks it up and moves it next to the one for her friend.
"Lauren, Marisol."
She wants her friend. Of course she does. If it were me and one of my clan disappeared, I would be unable to rest until I knew he was safe. Is that what this is? Does she feel responsible for her friend? I nod. I will talk with my clan and see what they think. Her smile is brilliant, and my cock aches at the sight of how lovely she is. How did I ever think her strange? She is delicately made, but I have never seen anything better than her face when she is happy. Fat One hops down off my arm, and Loren glances down, then giggles.
"Fat One eat Cathar."
Sure enough, my fat little night flyer has eaten the nut representing me. I mock growl as the flyer waddles toward my mate's nut, shooing him away. Some things are not to be touched. Jashel is elated at my find that evening. He has come back with nothing more than a few small shell walkers, and even those are scarce, he tells me. The waters near the beach grow warm, and the fish have left the shallows. I do not point out that the jungle seems to grow warmer by the day. There is no point in alarming anyone, not when there is nothing to be done about it. That evening we sit together and enjoy our meal. I am happy to see Loren eats as much meat as any of us, though she wrinkles her nose at the sight of Jashel gnawing on a leg. She grinds up a tender bit of meat between two stones and squeezes the juice from her share into a bowl, and then offers it to little Zaren, who loves the mush when it is rubbed against his gums.
"I am surprised we did not think of that," Nadech admits.
"I am as well, but we are hunters, we are not mothers." I watch as Loren plays with the kit. A chai is gone, dead this past moon. Her mate, Veden, died not long after they resonated. I remember how lucky I thought Veden to have resonated to the very last female of our kind. That was the last of his luck, and now his kit is here with us, motherless. I watch Loren as she cradles Zaren in her lap, feeding him the mush and nibbling on bites of her own food. My clan is so small that all of us matter. What if her clan is no one but her friend, her Mercil? She deserves to see her. She deserves to have her at her side. If Mercil has not resonated with our Jarl, she should come home with us. I will have to fight him, because he will not want to give her up. But for my mate, I will do anything. My Loren asked about her friend today, I tell Jashel and Nadek.
She spoke.
Jashel looks surprised, tossing his long braid back over his shoulder.
She learned our words that quickly.
She told me in words and gestures. She wants her clan at her side. I must go tomorrow and take her to see Marisol, her friend. Loren looks over at me in surprise.
Marisol?
There is excitement and hope on her face. I nod at her. Tomorrow, I am taking her to the clan of the Tallhorn so she can see her friend. And if she is not resonated to one of their clan, then you will bring her back to see if she resonates to one of us? Jashel asks, rubbing his hands eagerly and glancing over at Nadech, who seems equally enthusiastic. I will see if she wants to, I warn them. If she wishes to stay with Tallhorn, I cannot force her to leave.
Shall I come with you?
Jashel asks. His excitement is palpable. I can carry Zaren on my back. Nadech immediately glances away. I know what he is thinking, that Jashel will get to see the female before him because he has two good legs, while Nadech must remain behind, forgotten. It seems unfair. No, I say slowly. They will be suspicious if I bring someone unmated. For now it will just be myself and my mate. Loran looks at me with hopeful eyes, and when she gazes at me like that, I would fight every male on this island just to see her happy. I hope it does not come to that.
11. Loran. The men talk for a time after dinner, making plans in low voices. I don't follow any of it, but I occasionally hear my name and that of Marisol. Every time I speak up, Cathar just smiles at me and nods, and I have to trust that he is actually going to take me to my friend. I don't think he would lie, but I'm also hoping I'm not completely misunderstanding things. When the suns go down, Jashel takes the baby and heads up to his sleeping spot, and Nadek prepares his bed with fresh leaves that Cathars gathered for him. They don't seem to be big fans of fire here, so when the light is gone, it's pretty much bedtime. That leaves just me and Cathar to retire to our spot high up in the tree. Bedtime. I can't help but think about last night, and I get all flushed wondering what tonight is going to be like. Not that I should be thinking about stuff like that. Not that I haven't thought about it every hour the entire day. I blame my cootie for my rather singular thoughts. I knew nightfall was coming. I just didn't know if I'd be coming with it. Ha! But I can't deny that I want to be touched again. Last night's orgasm was nothing short of earth-shattering, and I'm curious to see if he plans on taking control again. He hasn't pushed me all day, but I've caught him watching me. I know he has to be thinking like I am. His cootie has been just as noisy as mine all day. If he doesn't touch me tonight, though, I'm not sure if I have the guts to ask him to. Part of me thinks no one would care. No one in this tribe, anyhow. But there's another part of me that still thinks like the awkward earth woman who wore glasses and sat on the sidelines at the club instead of dancing. I'm not abandoned. I don't think I'll ever be that person. The closest I'll ever be to that carefree person is who I am right now, the one in the grass bikini in a jungle of naked people. I'm the one that tries to be helpful, the peacemaker. It's hard for me to ask for things for myself. It's especially hard to think about asking someone, "Hey, would you diddle me again tonight?" Cathar gestures at the hollowed-out bole of the massive tree that they call home, and he indicates I should try climbing it for myself tonight. I appreciate that he's not going to throw me over his shoulder and haul me around, but I worry that I'm going to be really bad at this. I'm not the most athletic, I tell him, grabbing a handhold and looking up. So, no laughing.
Loren, up,
he tells me in his language. Right. Right. I'm looking forward to the day we can have a real conversation. I use the handhold and pull myself up, reaching for the next one. It's not very big and my fingers slip, and then one of Cathar's big hands cups my butt, helping me up. I can't decide if this is awkward or arousing. I'm definitely aware that he's inches away from my girl parts, and it makes me squirm and reach up for the next handhold so I don't sit on his hand for too long and get far too many ideas. The ledges carved into the inside of the tree are fairly big overall, though. I'm guessing it's because alien hands are much bigger than mine. They're spaced rather far apart, so moving to each one is a challenge. I concentrate on traveling up the tree, and I'm panting by the time we pass all of the other platforms and make it up to the very top of the tree. I crawl out onto the woven platform and flop down, panting. "Next time, maybe you take the first floor instead of the penthouse," I complain to him as he squats at my side, looking at my winded, sprawled body with amusement.
"Lauren, yes,"
he says, and touches my cheek with one big finger. I think he's trying to tell me that he's proud of me. I give him a tired thumbs up. He smiles and then moves away, and I sit up on my elbows to watch him as he disappears off the ledge with a hop and then returns a few moments later with a handful of leaves. Fastest gatherer ever, though I suppose he has an advantage with four arms versus my puny two arms. He fluffs them into a nice, comfy-looking pile and then casts a heated look in my direction. And I feel a full-body flush move through me. I can guess what that look means, and it's making me tingle with awareness. My cootie begins its song again, reminding me of exactly what it wants, and with every hour it seems a little harder to argue with the darn thing. Why am I fighting this again, exactly? Because people that don't know that I exist anymore won't approve? Because Earth morals say it's a bad idea to jump into bed with a guy you've just met? Do those things really apply anymore? I get to my feet and move to the edge of the bed. He sits down on one side, keeping between me and the ledge, and then waits on me. I'm not sure how to play this. Do I try to be sexy? Standoffish? What do I want? Torn with indecision, I thump down onto the bed and lie flat on my back, adjusting my placemat bib shirt over my boobs. God, I'm the worst at seduction. Cathar just chuckles as if he can hear my thoughts and lies down next to me. Not flat on his back, but propped up on one arm and facing me. Watching me. I feel another hot prickle move through my body at that realization, and I'm glad twilight is falling, because then maybe my headlights won't be quite so noticeable.
"Lauren," he murmurs.
"You can call me Lo," I whisper. "All my closest friends do. I think you qualify." I put a hand to my chest. "Lo."
"Lo,"
he manages, rolling his tongue in a way that it almost sounds like he's purring my name. Kind of like his cootie is purring at me. And gosh, that should not be nearly as sexy as it is.
"Cathar, Lo."
Is he saying I'm his? I get covered in goosebumps at the thought. I shouldn't want a guy to be all caveman on me, but it's hard to deny that I want it more than anything right now. More than anything. "That's me. All yours." He gazes down at me with those glowing blue eyes and then puts a hand between my legs, right over my leaf-covered pussy.
"Cathar, Lo."
I bite back a moan. Boy, this guy doesn't play around. "That's yours too." The look he gives me is one of fierce pleasure. Well, two can play at that game. Maybe it's time for me to be a little bolder myself. I reach over and grab him in the same spot he has me, right on his cock. I'm not entirely surprised to see that he's hard already. And this is Lo's Cathar.
"Yes,"
he says thickly, pressing against my hand. Okay, I'm going to have to be bold more often because his response to my caress is almost as exciting as when he touches me. These leaves don't hide much, and I can feel something very big and hot underneath. He leans in, groaning low under his breath, and then, oh so casually, rips my leaf skirt off of me. No pretending with this one. He's declaring me as his and staking his territory, and God help me, I love it. A little cry escapes me, and I don't even protest when he tears off my top, either. I guess that's the good thing about leaf clothing. Easy access. Cathar gazes down at me, his expression as hungry as I feel. Without breaking eye contact, he rips off his own loincloth and tosses it aside. Oh boy, now we are both really, really naked. I shiver at the realization. There's nothing stopping us from going all the way with this mating stuff. Am I ready? Does it matter? I bite my lip, full of aching uncertainty as he stares down at me. He's not moving to touch me, just watching. I wonder if I'm doing something wrong, something that's making him hesitate today, unlike yesterday. He looks down at my breasts, then touches the curve of one, watching me. The fuck? He's staring rather hard at my face and not my boobs. I frown. What was that about?
Hurt,
he asks, using one of the words he's managed to teach me over the last few days. No, I say slowly. Why would they hurt? He must see my confusion because he chuckles and rubs his chin, looking a bit sheepish. He gestures at my breasts and indicates that they're big, and then points at himself and shakes his head. Does that mean females of his kind don't have boobs like I do? Or he thinks mine are enormous? I put a hand over my breasts to cover them, feeling a little uncomfortable. Cathar snags my hand and pulls it down with a shake of his head, then lightly runs his finger over my nipple.
Cathar, Lo.
Oh, so we're back to that sexy game. I approve. I get all breathless, especially when he continues to trace my breast with his fingertips. Yes. My cooties rumbling fiercely, so strong it feels like it's shaking the trees. Down below, Kiki lets out a raucous squawk, and I realize that it's not just my cootie that's shaking. It's the entire tree. I jump to my feet, terrified. Cathar, another earthquake!
Lo,
he says calmly, getting to his feet as well.
No.
Don't tell me no. I know what I heard. I pause because I realize it's already stopped. It was just a tremor, nothing more. But it's the second one today. Each one is terrifying because I wonder when the volcano is going to blow its top. We're right in the danger zone, perched on the edge of the caldera. He grabs my waist and pulls me back against him. And then all of a sudden, I'm standing flush against a big, warm, sexy barbarian, and my naked skin is pressed against his naked skin. And for a moment, I forget all about earthquakes. Cathar holds me tightly against him, and I can feel his cock pressing into my back. My body prickles with awareness, and my nipples are hard, and I hold my breath, waiting to see if he releases me. He doesn't, though. Instead, one hand goes to my pussy and he strokes my curls there.
Cathar, Lo,
he murmurs against my hair. I shudder with need, leaning back against him, giving myself up to him. He wants me to be his. I'm all his to do with as he wants. Yes. He groans low in his throat and I can feel the deeper rumble of his cooey in his chest. As he calmly slides one finger between the folds of my pussy, he reaches up with another hand and caresses one of my breasts again. I suck in a breath because the dual sensations are maddening. Did I think a guy with four arms was weird? I take it back, because he's got so many more ways to touch me that I'm getting wet just thinking about it.
Lo.
He says again in a deliciously husky voice, and drags that big, thick finger along the wet seam of my pussy. He moves it back and forth, then begins to lightly rub against my clit. Oh, fuck. He remembers that from yesterday. Of course he does. I cling to his arm, writhing against him, and panting as he rubs my nipple at the same time he pets my clit. This is so unfair. It's too much for me to take in. It's overwhelming and amazing, and oh my God, I'm going to come so hard if he keeps touching me like this. The breath wheezes in and out of my throat, and I whimper, trapped in the cage of his arms as he holds me tight against him and strokes my body like it's been his for hundreds of years, and he knows just how to touch me. So unfair. So good. I come a moment later, crying out as a swift orgasm overtakes me. I've never come quickly before, but it seems that every time he touches me, I just light up and explode. I sag against him as he continues to pet me, murmuring my name. His hand lifts from my pussy, and in a daze, I watch as he raises his wet fingers to his mouth and tastes them. Then Cathar groans, hard.
"Low,"
he rasps. In the next moment, I'm back on the leafy bed on my back. He's swift, so swift that I can barely tell what's happening before I realize that he's pushing my thighs apart and his head descends between them. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Cathar, wait, I whimper. I need to come down. I'm too sensitive. But he doesn't understand me. Of course he doesn't, or maybe he doesn't care. Arms locked around my thighs to anchor my hips against him, he leans down and licks me with a long, slow taste. I bite down on my finger to keep from screaming out his name. Sensation rockets through me, and I feel like my entire body is turning inside out. I've never felt so much all at once. I want him to stop, and I want him to keep going. He licks my folds and my toes curl. My hands go to his hair as he hefts one of my knees over his shoulder and begins to use his tongue with even more force. He takes his time to explore my folds and then pushes the tip of his tongue against my core. My moan turns into gasps and I cling to him. I feel a sliver of disappointment when he moves away from my core, leaving me aching and hollow. But a moment later, his tongue drags over my still incredibly sensitive clit, and then he begins to feast on me. This time, I can't help the loud cry that escapes my throat. One hand, God, he has so many, reaches up and he presses his fingers against my lips. I suck on them, whimpering, because I'm so full of need. I can't help my body's reaction to his intense licking. My hips buck against his face in my urgency. I can feel him chuckle, but he doesn't stop. He only licks me harder, his hands tight around my thighs. And then I'm coming all over again, wet and hot, and all around his face. My body arches like a bow, and still he doesn't stop licking me, not until I've shuddered and cried out a third time. I stare up at the dark forest canopy overhead. I feel replete. No, more than replete. It's like all of the strength in my body has been drained, and it was sucked right out of my pussy by the alien between my thighs. I lift my head to glance over at him, and his eyes are shining, the look on his face smug and pleased. Yeah, he should be pleased. I'm pretty sure every bird, reptile, and alien in a 3-mile radius just heard me coming my brains out. That is definitely going to make breakfast tomorrow rather awkward when I see the others. 3 orgasms, one after the other. I'm going to need to take up cardio to keep up with this man's tongue. My legs feel like they've run 3 miles and all they've done is clench his head between my thighs. Gah! Of course, I can't complain. I'd be a fool to complain. That was amazing. Hands everywhere, tongue everywhere, my toes curl just thinking about it again.
Cathar, low.
The big guy murmurs and licks his tongue along the inside of my thigh. I shiver because I can see the heat and need in his eyes. Wait, I breathe, wriggling my way out of his grip. An idea has hit me, and I'm rather excited about it. I want to turn the tables on him. If he liked my reaction to his touch, I'm sure I'll enjoy his reaction to mine. I put a hand to his chest and slide away, closing my trembling thighs. Enough with Lo for now. Let's talk about Cathar. He reaches for me, but I shake my head and caress his face, smiling at him. My turn. Lo's Cathar. His eyes narrow and his cooey purrs even louder. Yeah, he likes that idea. I get to my feet and take his hand in mine, indicating he should do the same. He does, and then I get to gaze at all delicious 6 feet plus of the guy. I put my hand on his pectoral, feeling his heart beat and his cooey sing. And it feels like a magical moment. He blew my mind. Now it's my turn to blow his. The thought's an enticing one. How many times has Cathar looked at me with hot eyes and held me for a little bit longer than he should have? It's my turn to pay attention to his need, and to thank him for 4 very, very good orgasms. And, well, have a little fun myself. The thought of touching him any way I want is exciting. It makes me press my thighs together with anticipation, and my body flushes all over again. I can tell he's excited, too, though it's not hard to see that. He's panting, his massive shoulders heaving, and his fists are clenched at his side, as if it's taking all of his strength not to reach out and grab me and throw me back down into the leaves again for another round. Much as that round would be amazing, I want him to have some amazing, too. So I smile up at him. I'm going to teach you how to kiss first. Can we do that? He tilts his head and I can tell he's mentally sifting through my words, trying to match them with the bits and pieces of each other's language that we've learned. Kiss, I say helpfully, and slide my hand to the back of his neck, then press my body up against his. My breasts push against his chest, and one of his arms goes to my waist, locking me against him. I shake my head, keeping my expression playful. My turn to run things, sweetheart. And we're starting with a kiss. Kss, he agrees, and puts his hand behind my neck just like I'm doing to him. I want to close my eyes and lean against that big hand, because he can cup the entire back of my head in his palm, and it's a strangely erotic feeling. I can't get distracted, though, and he's the very best at distracting me. I lean in, tugging him toward me. Kiss, I whisper again. It's my favorite. Well, it was my favorite before oral. I might have a new favorite, but this one can be a classic. I'm good with that. He watches me closely, his eyes open even as I move in and put my mouth on his. He goes completely still under me, as if trying to figure out what I'm doing. So I lean in and lightly press my lips to his. It's clear he doesn't know how to kiss. He purses his mouth and waits, as if trying to figure out what I'm doing so he can mimic it. That's oddly sweet and kind of funny at the same time. Of course, his reaction just makes me want to do more. I want to shock him, push his limits, or even just see what they are. I lean closer and lick him, right on the mouth. The breath hisses from between his teeth. Kiss. Not quite, I murmur, my voice throaty with the power I have over him. Let me finish showing you. Kiss, I say again, and then press my mouth over his. This time I make it a deeper kiss. Instead of caressing his lips with mine, I slant my mouth over his and flick my tongue against the seam of his mouth. When he opens up for me, I stroke against his, sliding my tongue along the side of his. Then I slowly break away and give him a breathless look. Kiss. He growls low and his arms lock around my waist. One hand cups the back of my head harder, and then his mouth is on mine again, and we're kissing with all the intense passion I've been hoping for. Cathar's a fast learner, because he takes over the kiss, and what he lacks in finesse, he makes up for in enthusiasm. God, is there ever enthusiasm! He's kissing me so fiercely that I can feel my body responding, my cootie humming its pleasure. Every lick into my mouth feels as if he's licking me between my thighs again, and it's as maddening as it is incredible. I've lost control of the kiss, but I don't mind. When we finally break apart, my mouth feels like it's tingling, and we're both panting hard. He gazes down at me and skims a thumb over my lower lip.
Kiss.
I nod, dazed. Yeah, that's what it is. Though calling what we experienced just now a mere kiss seems inadequate. I want to do more before he completely distracts me. I slide my hand down his chest and then even lower, boldly caressing his cock. Kiss here? Cathar's eyes grow hooded and I can hear the barest groan escape him. That's not a no, I whisper, and slide to my knees, kneeling in front of him, my hands still on his cock. In fact, that just might be a yes.
Yes,
he murmurs thickly. Yep, thought so. I feel an intense sweep of pleasure over the control I have right now. I'm the one on my knees, but I'm the one in charge of the situation. It's a heady, intense feeling, and I can see why people get so addicted to being in charge. His reactions to my touches make everything twice as pleasurable. I gently cup his sack, exploring him with my fingers. His skin is soft here and impossibly hot. As I gaze at his body in the shadows, he seems to be turning the same color as my skin. Fascinating. Is he camouflaging to me because I'm touching him, or because he's trying to please me? Either way, I'm into it. I wrap my other hand around his length and squeeze, learning his body. His cock is incredibly thick. Not that I've had a lot of experiences with cocks, as in none, but watching porn online didn't prepare me for the size of an alien boyfriend. When I squeeze, my fingers don't close all the way around him, and the length of him is larger than anticipated. But all of the other humans stranded here are blissfully happy and pregnant, so I'm guessing alien dick is big in the yay sort of way instead of the oh crap sort of way. And with that knob on top, I'm pretty sure he's going to hit me in all the right spots. That's kind of exciting. Okay, a lot exciting. First, though, it's my turn to have some fun. I glance up at him and notice he's watching me with intent, focused eyes, as if nothing else in the world matters. I smile up at him and then reach out and casually lick the head of his cock. I've never given a blowjob before, but there are things you just know at your core, and I guess I know how to be a tease.
Loren.
He breathes, caressing my face. My cootie's rumbling like a lawnmower in my chest, and his is so loud I'm surprised no one's yelling up at us to keep it down. Then again, if my screaming a few minutes ago didn't wake anyone up, I'm guessing that they're pretending not to hear. That works for me, 'cause I'm not stopping until this man, alien, comes. I know that blowjobs involve sucking and stroking, so I try to figure out the best way to do both. With my hands, I explore his length, feeling along his skin. He's scorchingly hot here, and the faint, spicy musk of his scent fills my nose. I like the smell of him, and I don't think I've ever said that about a guy before. Probably the cootie, but I don't care. I just know that so far I like everything about him. I lick along the head of his cock, exploring him with my tongue. Pre-cum slicks the head, and I lap it up over and over again. But there's always more. I like his taste, though. He's thick and smooth along his shaft, but there's a hard ridge along the top of his cock, as if the skin is thicker there. It's unusual, and I'm pretty sure it's not standard in Earth equipment, but what is? I think I'm doing pretty well at pleasuring him, though. The noises Cathar makes are those of a man about to lose control, and his hand keeps touching my face, my hair, anywhere he can. He whispers things to me that I don't even pretend to understand, and all the while, I love on his cock with my mouth and my hands.
Loren,
he pants and pulls me away from him when I try to suck on the head of his cock.
Loren.
Are you going to come? I whisper, taking his length in my hand and rubbing my face against his length. I just love touching him. It doesn't matter how, just that it's pleasurable to do so. Is that what you're trying to tell me? He shakes his head and pulls away, and I can feel the tension in his body. He doesn't want me touching him? I reach for him again. If I can come on his face, he can come on mine.
Cathar,
I murmur, my voice throaty and soft.
Yes.
Cathar closes his eyes and groans as if tormented. I decide to take the initiative. I reach out and caress him again, moving my fingers up and down his length in a light, fluttery caress. The breath hisses from his throat, and then he grabs one of my hands, wrapping it around his erection, and then pumping his length with it. Fascinated, I watch as he works my hand over his cock up and down. In a matter of seconds, he comes, and hot, sticky semen glazes my hand, the proof of his release. He closes his eyes and breathes my name again, his pumping slowing to a languid stroke. Then he releases my hand with a deep sigh and gives me the most sleepy, satisfied look I think I've ever seen on his face. I love seeing that expression on him. He pulls me to my feet, takes a handful of leaves, and carefully wipes my hand clean. Then, with a caress of my cheek, he lies back down on the leaves and indicates I should join him. I guess we're not mating tonight. I'm surprised, but I'm also pleased he remembered that I wanted to wait. Of course, in a few more days I might not want to wait at all. Then again, I'm enjoying the bed play we've done so far, that it feels like there's no rush. My cootie purrs, reminding me otherwise. It still wants a mating. As Cathar pulls my exhausted body into the circle of his arms, I realize that my cootie's probably going to get its way sooner rather than later. And I'm pretty okay with that. Sure didn't take long. Just not tonight. Even now my eyes are sliding closed. The last thing I notice before I drift off to sleep is that Cathar puts a hand between my thighs, cupping my pussy. Right. He's holding on to what's his. The amusing thought carries me off to sleep.
12. Cathar. I am up before my mate the next morning, and set about making her a fresh loincloth and a cover for her teats while she sleeps. I watch her as I do, pleased at her soft little sighs. Does she dream of me and the way we touched last night? I have never known such pleasure as what she did with her mouth. Just thinking about it now makes my cooey rumble, and I want nothing more than to push between her thighs and lick her cunt until she cries out with her release. I do not, though, because the day will be a long one, and she will need her strength. She cannot camouflage, so our travel must be through the branches of the tall trees. Too many kari stalk the ferns and bushes, as hungry as we are for game that can no longer be found. The canopy will protect us from Skyclaw, so it must be the trees. My Loren only has two arms, and weak ones at that, so our travel will be slow. If I were by myself, I could make it to the rocky cliffs of the Tallhorn Camp. But I will not leave my Loren, not even for a moment. An earthshake wakes her up, but it is a small one and gone as quickly as it arrives. She dresses in silence, obviously worried, and I cannot resist pressing my mouth to hers in the kiss she likes so much. That brings a smile to her face. We eat a few quick bites and then say our goodbyes to the others. Nadech has Zeren this day, so Jashel can hunt for them. His color is good and he sits up, his bedding fresh. He still has not left his platform, but hopefully in time he will find a way to walk or move about without his leg. Others have done so in the past. It is encouraging to see him being active in our small tribe once more, and I know that Loren's presence gives him hope. Nadech and Jachelle have both wanted mates for as long as I have, and I suspect they have high hopes for Loren's friend. We shall see. I am not entirely surprised to see that Fat One stays behind with Nadech and Zarin. The Night Flyer enjoys perching on my shoulder, but lately he has been hovering around the kit, probably because of all the crumbs and bits Zarin drops when he is chewing on a root or a bit of smoked meat. Even now, the flyer watches the kit suck on his egg hungrily. I cannot blame him. The kit is the only well-fed one in the tribe. I pretend to eat my dried meat, but slide most of it into my leather-carrying pouch for later, when Loren will need more food. I have been hungry before, and I do not mind being so again. She will need her strength today, and she will need it when she carries my kit. Just the thought fills me with intense pride. My little mate is as fierce in her own way as any Sach female. She is not a good climber, not by any means, but she tries, and she tries hard. She does not complain even though the day grows hot and the jungle is so steamy I can see plumes of mist in the air. Her hands sometimes slip on the branches, but I am there to help her. And when the space between trees is too great for her to leap, I carry her on my back. That does not make the journey easy for either of us, though. By the time we make it to the curve of the island and the cliffs that belong to Tallhorn, we are both exhausted. I am glad to see the old stone ruins of the ancestors, where our Jarl's clan retreated to when their land sank into the sea with the Great Smoking Mountain. I see the walls of their strange homes when we approach, and the leafy browned thatches of their roofs. It is nothing like our open, airy platforms amidst the trees, but they are close to the water and spend much of their time fishing in the shallows, as they did in their old territory. Loren makes an exclamation of surprise at the sight of their huts.
Are those houses?
That is where the clan of the Tallhorn lives, I tell her, gesturing at my own normal-sized horns. She nods, recognizing my words.
Tall horn,
she repeats, and then adds,
Marisol?
Yes, come. I put a hand to the small of her back and guide her forward along the shore. The camp is deathly quiet. My senses prickle because there should be more noise. Someone repairing flint tools, someone tanning a hide or fishing with nets. No one comes out to greet us, and there are no fires lit. The woven covers over each flap of the small dwellings are down, and it would be sweltering inside at this time of day. It makes no sense. Either they're all out hunting at once, or they are hiding from us. I growl low in my throat, angry. Loren immediately grabs my arm and moves behind me.
What? What is it, Cathar?
It is all right, I tell her. My frustration is not at her. It is at our Jarl and his tribe, who have guessed that we would be coming and have hidden themselves. They do not want to give up their female. Unsurprising. Would I not do the same in their situation? Of course, just thinking about my Loren in the arms of another makes my temper spike. I put an arm in front of her, shielding her from their view. Come out! I call out to them. I come to talk, not to thieve. Not unless the female wants to be stolen, of course. That is another matter entirely. There is no response. Now they are just being ridiculous. Tall horn, I bellow, cupping a hand to my mouth and yelling so loud that my Loren jumps in surprise behind me. My mate and I have journeyed all day to speak with you. Come out! I wait. But there is still nothing.
Yes?
My mate asks in a quiet voice.
Marisol, yes?
No, I say heavily, beyond frustration. I wanted this for my mate. She has traveled long and hard this day, and to be met with such a response makes me want to grab the nearest tree and rip the branches off. They hide from us. I am not sure if she understands, but she makes an indignant noise in her throat and pushes past.